You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
Man, energy. I know we talked about it a lot, talked about it yesterday. It's so important. It's not something we can run out of. It's something that fuels our life. It's something that fuels our economy. It fuels the next generation, and I don't think it's something we can fail in. So we do talk about it a lot, and it's important. And there's a changing landscape when it comes to energy, and you're hearing do this and do that, and we need carbon storage, and we got to have more generation here and less generation there, and how to be doing this and not doing that, and how do we make it reliable? How do we make it affordable? How do we make it safe? We continue our discussion here today as we welcome you from Montana, for Montana. It's Voices of Montana, and great to be in Great Falls today. It's the Mecca 60th annual Montana Electric Cooperative Association meeting here at the Heritage Inn in Great Falls. Communicate to educate, empowering our members is one of the focuses here today. We're going to focus on communication an awful lot, but we'll also focus on this clean transition to cleaner energy, and not just for a handful. It's got to be for everybody. Thank you again for being here. Two decades strong, working on three. It is from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. Tom Schultz alongside. A bit later on, we'll be talking with some electric cooperative members and leaders. Kelly Stanger, he's from the Lincoln Electric Cooperative in Eureka. Love that area. Also, Bighorn Electric Cooperative, Derek Sorley will join us. That's just a bit later on, just to check in on that local level. But I'm pleased to make the acquaintance and chat here with Scott Hoffman. He's the editor of the RE Magazine and the NRECA News. That is a national organization and their publication. And Scott, good morning, man. How you doing?
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate that. First things first, been to Montana before?
One time, and I swear I would get back and God willing, I am.
Yeah, nice, good. You're here for work. I hope to find some time to play, because it's a pretty good place to play.
I love it. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. Editor of the magazine, the NRECA News as well. You do a podcast, Virginia Tech grad. Mm-hmm. And so let's first, and a keynote speaker here too. So let's just start with, what is the message for our electric cooperative members and their member organizations?
One of the things I'm going to focus on in my talk today is this idea that that communicating with your members is a critical thing to do. And I don't think anybody in this room would quarrel with that. But the idea of communicating effectively has changed quite a bit in the last few years. Whereas utilities, we used to send out our bills and bill stuffers and emails. Now our members are sort of expecting a dialogue with us, and the new platforms, the social medias and the other technologies that are available have opened the channels for these sort of dialogues rather than just monologues.
I think we want to dialogue. How do we dialogue well? How do we not fall into some of the traps that come along with more open communication?
And that's a key thing. And the idea is to sort of start small, figure out who your members are, the ones who want to engage with you, and they'll find you. There will be things you start a channel, members come to you in small trickles, and then something happens, an event, a weather event, and then suddenly you get more. And you sort of have to manage these channels in a way. I don't think Montana is probably very vulnerable to these kind of the vitriol that you get on the, but they may be, and it's something that you have to manage. But it is worth the effort, because the channel, the idea of being where your members are when they need you is the key, because there's a lot of information. We were talking before the show, the industry that we're in used to be this sort of back page, business page industry, the energy industry. Now it's front page news every day. There's something going on between, you know, renewables, oil and gas and natural gas, is that how that's going to fare in the future, beneficial electrification, electric vehicles. And then there's this member and consumer desire to engage more with their energy consumption. They want to make decisions about how their power is generated. They want to make decisions about how they use their energy. They want access to their meter data. So they got the idea that they have these questions, that there is a constant barrage of new information coming at them, and they don't necessarily have the ability to process it in a way that makes them make good decisions. Mm. So that's where the co-ops comes in. Yeah. It's a trusted voice.
I'm just envisioning it's football season. Football is played with 11 members on each side. Now, because as you're talking here, we have this increased communication and this increased buy-in and engagement. Now, instead of 11 members on the team, there are 2,000 members on the team. How do you move the ball forward? And I think you were talking about that. Are setting expectations an important part of that?
Yeah, having a plan. And the great thing about being a co-op is they're in a network of other co-ops who constantly talk about each other about all kinds of things. And the fact that they can reach out to the entire co-op network and say, we're thinking about starting, some new channels, help us out. And as the National Association, we provide a lot of resources, but the greatest resource is the other co-ops who have done this, who have basically been the guinea pigs in these things and started these channels. So there's a lot of good advice out there, and you create these platforms, and you do turn this in from a manageable football team into a stadium of commenters, and it is on the whole, I believe it is a good thing, but it does require a little bit of management.
Scott Hoffman is with us here, editor of RE Magazine, and that's the national publication. Of course, Ryan Hall is the communications person for Mecca, does a really good job, in fact, award-winning with Rural Montana Magazine, and appreciated that. In fact, we also do a program called Rural Montana Live, the radio show for the Rural Montana Magazine. Scott's one of the keynote speakers here today. The trusted source. This is, as we're sorting through and we're here, we have a lot of inputs nowadays, boiling down to a trusted source. One of the things that you had talked about is that the co-ops are positioned to be a trusted source.
Yeah, and that's really important because, obviously anybody who's on the internet knows that it can often be a little foggy in that environment. It can often be.
Can I use that?
That's good. That is yours, Tom.
A little bit foggy. Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes it can be hard to know if what you're reading and what you're looking at is trustworthy. And then one of the things I'm going to hit on in my speech today is this idea that these co-op members have long-standing relationships, years, decades, with the co-ops. And these are trusted relationships. And the information that they've always gotten from the co-op has been trustworthy. And the value of having someone, and particularly as the energy sector becomes more high profile and it becomes something that they consume and see more in their media feeds, the idea of being a trusted voice really on anything across the board right now, but in the energy sector for cooperatives, is immeasurable. It really is. It really is a unique position for them to be in.
Let's bring in the pandemic, because that changed the field again. I'm not sure it moved the goalposts. I think it completely changed the field to a certain degree.
Yeah.
We being, I think, the general public, and I'll speak for myself then, I started trusting when we were hit with the information and do this and do that. Okay, I was trusting. As that process has progressed, I'm not so much trusting anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that in relation to how the co-ops can continue to be that trusted source, despite, again, all these multiple inputs.
Yeah, and I think what the pandemic did, and I think you're right, it didn't necessarily change the ballgame. It just changed really everything. And I think what the key thing is that it put this giant spotlight on the idea that you need to have multiple channels to get to your members, because suddenly your members are not able to get to you, right? Some of the offices closed, annual meetings suddenly go virtual or go drive-in. So it really put a spotlight on that idea of having channels out to your members and these conversations. I think that also the crazy thing that it did is it took these platforms like Zoom and Teams, which nobody really wanted to use before the pandemic, and all of a sudden this is a really robust way that everybody is suddenly comfortable working in this virtual environment, and you can get out and educate. And back to your point about the trust, that is a sort of a commodity that that co-ops have that is unique in almost any industry. There is it may not be across the board for everybody, but every study we've ever done shows that co-op members see if their co-ops as trusted sources of information, and it could be across the board. So in this particular situation where we're dealing with a pandemic, nobody alive today has really dealt with this before, and there's just a tornado of information that's coming at you. Having a co-op, just having someone to come to you and say, here's something we know, and this is true, and you can trust it, is immeasurable. Scott Hoffman again with us here. We'll be speaking a bit later on with a couple of members of local co-ops, Kelly Sanger from Lincoln Electric, Eureka area, Bighorn Electric is the Hardin area, Derek Sorley to be with us. We're going to talk a bit later on, too, as we have more time here. And again, I appreciate you being here and educating us. I'm a big fan of education. In fact, as I mentioned, to communicate, to educate, empowering our members is one of the themes here for this 60th annual MECA meeting here in Great Falls. How is Montana? Give us that flavor of co-ops around the country. Now, I'm a fan of the co-op model, and I think it's that leads to the trust that you're talking about here, because we're looking across the table at our neighbors, their members, their opinion counts. So I love that built-in trust. Give us that sense around the country.
Well, we're mainly seeing, it varies, obviously, the from region to region and really territory to territory. There are some co-ops that are exploding because they're near these suburban areas that are in growth modes. Some co-ops are struggling in rural areas to sort of maintain the member base and maintain the rate base. But on the whole, I can say that the state of the union is healthy. The state of co-ops is quite healthy. We saw 10, 20 years ago these sort of takeover attempts by investor-owned utilities to come in and convince the members to sell out to the IOU. We have not seen any of that in a long time, and that speaks to the strength of the co-ops, how they're doing business, how they're relating to their members, and it's just not something that IOUs even want to take on at this point because they are so strong.
Interesting. What changed that dynamic then?
It over time we have a national brand that's part of NRECA called Touchstone Energy Cooperatives, and that was created back when the first big push by IOUs with the deregulation to come in and sort of take over these lucrative
IOUs
are investor owned utilities.
Okay.
They're the bad guys. No, I won't say that.
right.
But this Touchstone Energy Cooperatives was created back then to sort of create this media brand where we can get out the word stories of co-ops and kind of combat the IOU takeover push. That was huge. That turned the table for us, and that basically set co-ops on a road to take care of their members in a way that they would not be susceptible to an outsider coming in and making offers.
Most of it's distribution of energy that's provided. Yeah. And then, of course, that takes the affordability out of the members' hands to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. Are they talking about generation?
I have not seen that. That's a big thing. Yeah,
yeah.
And that would be those are well resourced, and they are basically the generation co-ops are owned by their members, and they are all one family, and that's a strong thing to try and break into.
I want to tee this up a little bit, and we got just about 1 minute before we go to break here. The clean transition to a cleaner energy. Mm-hmm. In 30 seconds, as we talk about this more in the next segment, what's the first thing that we need to talk about?
Well, I mean, the fact is it's out there and the ball is moving. The ball is rolling, and it is the whole idea of this being on some kind of deadline is this artificial thing that we need to. That's something that NRECA is pushing back against. Is we get it. This is the trend. This is where we're going. Don't try and do it so fast that you're hurting people at the end of the line.
And this is what I have. I guess just railed against, actually. I think some of these deadlines are arbitrary. I think some of them are political. And I think most people want this transition to cleaner energy. It makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways, but are we transitioning or are we looking, jumping, leaping without really even looking? We'll come on back and explore that more as we are live at the 60th annual MECA convention here on Voices.
No matter how far you may go, there's always one just down the road.
Down pump, pump it up,
pump it up.
In need of some energy to get your day going? Your local town pump's got it. C4 Energy 16-ounce, buy two, get one free. And in the deli, taco snack burritos are only $2.99. Town Pump, convenient and right down the road.
Two dozen co-ops across Montana, they serve tens of thousands of people with electricity and also information, as we're learning here today, communication to educate. One of the themes here for MECA, the Montana Electric Cooperative Association's 60th annual meeting. I mean, that's a long time. Scott Hoppen is with us here, and he's the RE magazine editor and also does, this is the national magazine and that, the national communication tool, really, of the National Electric Cooperatives Association. 60 years is, there's a track record that you can go off of for something like this, huh?
Yeah. And I've been with the magazine about 10 years, and, you know, the co-op program and the energy industry is very complex and it takes a long time to get it, but, you know, it's front page news right now.
Clean transition to cleaner energy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we're doing it right. I don't know that we're doing it wrong. what are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, we were talking before the break. There is this idea that this is coming, that it's the right way to go. It's just the whole idea of putting these deadlines on it. And I know the argument for climate change and global warming is forcing the issue in one direction. But the pushback has got to be, okay, that we got to do this at a reasonable pace, so we can continue to provide affordable, reliable electric power to people. That's our economy. Like you said in your intro, that's life. That's it. This is the lifeblood of our country. So there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way than just forcing it through. And we were talking a little at the break about what happened down mainly in Texas, but throughout the middle of the country this winter, when that massive winter storm, unprecedented cold and snow down in Texas. Basically knocked their grid offline for 3 or 4 days. And this is one of those things that sort of highlights the issue of trying to transition this industry too quickly can result in catastrophic failures like that. The Texas grid was minutes away from an absolute catastrophic failure. It would have taken months to get that back.
That's
on.
Not an exaggeration.
That is not an exaggeration, and it's serious. And you know, there's the policy folks who are pushing these issues. They have an agenda. They want to get their things through, but the real consequences come for those members and those consumers at the end of the line, who could get stuck without power for long periods of time. And California is sort of a similar situation where they're transitioning very, very quickly, and in an industry that it does not lend itself well to transitioning. There are so many infrastructure things that need to be figured out before you can bring in all these renewables. It does not behoove us to do that.
Well, and I didn't plan on going there, but you think about our energy grid, and we've recognized that it's suspect to technological attacks as well.
Yeah.
How can the co-ops better prepare themselves for that?
Oh, you're talking about cybersecurity,
yeah,
kind of thing? Yeah, oh, that's I mean, we've had this. I do the podcast for NRECA as well. And we've had,
tell us, how do we find it?
Yeah, it's called Along Those Lines. It's on all the major platforms.
Along Those Lines. I like that. That's
yep.
Good.
Yeah, and it's fun. I sort of took it over a couple of years ago, and I was like, oh, great, here's another thing I got to do. But I love it. I really enjoy doing it. So we talk about cybersecurity a lot on it. It's a huge issue. This also happens to be Cybersecurity Month in October.
Yep.
So it is a huge thing. And what's happening with the grid is, it used to be you would have your office systems, which were your billing and your member relation stuff, and that was your vulnerability. Now, as the smart grid has proliferated, and as these online connected systems have spread out through the system, those all become points of vulnerability. Your attack surface, it expands. So it's something the co-ops have to be very, very mindful of. Now, even we're talking an FBI agent later this month that the EV infrastructure, if you have a lot of electric vehicles in your territory, and you create this EV infrastructure where you have charging networks, even that can get back into your system. So it is, and there's a lot of resources out there. NRECA as well as the FBI and other agencies can help, but it is a huge priority.
So it takes that one event for us to learn a lesson, going back to the Texas energy situation, which caused rolling blackouts. People recognize, and there were a lot of things that went into that. It wasn't just necessarily inadequate base load. That was a big part of it. But there are other components that filter in there that can lead us to forget about the main thing, which is base load. How do we learn our lessons from that?
Well, I mean, I think really the idea is that you unfortunately have to suffer tragedies in order to get the attention of people who are trying to push an agenda. And I'm not necessarily saying their agenda is a bad agenda. It's just the idea that you have to hear other voices. There are people out there screaming, "You're going too fast. You're going too fast. Our electric grid, our entire system is based on this baseload generation that will provide power 24/7, whenever you need it, no matter what else is going on. And these renewable inputs and the other sort of experimental technologies that have not been proven at the grid level, as you introduce those in larger capacities, they create their own vulnerabilities because the sun doesn't shine at night, the wind doesn't blow all the time, and storage is a big thing. They're trying to get the storage capacity up to where they can ride through these sort of normal natural outages, but it's a risk, and the unfortunate thing is there are going to be tragedies that happen, like Texas, like what's happened in California, that sort of point people in the right direction and get them thinking about the right things.
Later on, Derek Sorley will join us, Bighorn Electric, Hardin, Montana, Telly Stanger, Lincoln Electric, Eureka, Montana. We got to take a break, and we'll finish up here with Scott Hoffman, who was one of the keynote speakers here today, and again, talking a lot of national issues. He's the editor of the national organization, the RE Magazine, does that podcast along those lines, love that, and NRECA News. We'll come on back here to the 60th annual Mecca meeting after these headlines from Brian Bennett. All right, real cool. So we're here. I'm going to catch one of these things here, communicating the co-op difference, energy efficiency 101, the future of electricity. Those are some of the breakaway sessions here at this meeting, the 60th annual MECA meeting, the Montana Electric Cooperative Association meeting. We're here every year because it's just it's a part of Montana. It preserves our rural values in a lot of ways, and it serves us. It serves us with hopefully, the reliable and the affordable and the safe electricity. Scott Hoffman, a keynote speaker here at noon today, getting him warmed up. Scott, I've appreciated the conversation. Let's hone in a little bit on the affordability of electricity, because as we talk about this better transition to cleaner energy or whatever it is, there are many people who are willing to give up and sacrifice a lot for it. Mm-hmm. And we always ask the question, and there are some who are not, at what cost does it take us to get there?
Yeah, and that's you're right. There are a lot of people who say, "I'll pay whatever it takes. This is worth it." But they're not necessarily speaking for the majority of folks, and that's one of the things that I love about cooperatives is that they speak for those members at the end of the line. They go to NRECA and they say, "This is important to our members." We have a big lobbying shop that does work on Capitol Hill, and that the message that they're consistently conveying is your concern needs to be the affordability and the quality of life for the people, the people at the end of the line who can't afford to say, "I'll do what it takes, I'll pay what it takes." It's that important to me. So it's a huge priority, and co-ops are the most eloquent advocate for them on the national stage.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, they don't have the wiggle room to make large sacrifices.
Right.
So a lot of people don't. Let me ask this. We got about 2 minutes left here. As you go out and you talk to co-ops around the country and do conventions, what do you want to take away? Who do you want to sit down with? Or are you going to just sort of let that happen? What are you looking to take away from this meeting?
That's
today?
A great question. I actually have I start my speech out by saying, please make this a dialogue. A lot of my speech is about how the co-op communications with their members is now a dialogue. And I'm going to ask the room to make it a dialogue. Send me back to Washington with what's important to you. And it's, as we were saying earlier, the keeping those connections up during the pandemic was hard. We were not getting out as much. We were not getting as out face-to-face. So it's so nice to be out actually in front of people and talking to people. And if there are members here from co-ops, that's one thing. As a national association, we're talking a lot to co-op people, but we don't get a lot of interaction with actual members of cooperatives. So it would be great to get in front of them as well. And I'm always trying to absorb story ideas because we got to fill the pages of the magazine. We got to keep that podcast going. Just being out here is just great.
Yeah, and if people have some value, they want to share it. So I'm sure they will. So what's in the next magazine?
Oh, the next magazine is we just finished a magazine called Co-op Rising Stars, which was great. Oh. We've never done this before. A full, 20-page feature on where we picked out co-op rising stars. We did a whole nomination process. And in fact, one co-op person who I will shout out, Katie Fennigs from Flathead Electric, was named one of the co-op rising stars. So shout out to her. But that was great. And we have cybersecurity on the cover in October, and that's a huge issue right now with all the broadband that's being hung. Mm. Actually, this is a safety issue, and it's broadband safety as far as hanging this stuff on the lines. Is a huge concern for as we're building this out, making sure that people are safe.
Good stuff today,
yeah.
Scott.
Man,
all right,
yeah. That was great.
Appreciate that.
Appreciate it.
Go break a leg.
All right, we'll do. Thank you.
All right, we're back with more here in just a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate that. Two decades strong, working on three, an objective perspective. Today at the 60th annual MECA convention, the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association convention here in Great Falls. A lot to talk about. Enjoyed the conversation with Scott Hoffman regarding communications, but a lot of other things we talked about, this transition to cleaner energy. Are we doing it wisely? We're going to switch over now and get kind of the local feel here. Telly Stanger is with us from Lincoln Electric. That's up in Eureka, far northwestern Montana, and the general manager up there. And Telly, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, appreciate it.
Appreciate that. Let's launch into it because our time will probably just fly. Up in northwestern Montana, it's more of a unique situation than some of your electric co-op brothers and sisters in other areas. And that's Bonneville and heavily reliable on hydroelectric.
That's right. Yeah, Lincoln Electric is one of the two members in western Montana who is a member of the Pacific Northwest Generating Cooperative, PNGC, out of Portland. It's 15 cooperatives across the Northwest in four states. And, the majority, over 90% of our portfolio is renewable energy or hydropower, green power.
Now, what was that again?
Over 90%.
That is a remarkable percentage. Mm-hmm. It is, yeah.
Lincoln Electric, like the actual electrons that we get our power from, all come from Hungry Horse Dam. We're not tied in directly to Libby Dam, which is a closer dam, but so Lincoln Electric, theoretically speaking, is 100%. But as a group of BPA customers, we're well over 90%.
Gotcha. So obviously you have concerns then about all this talk about dam breaching. Update us.
There's been a lot of talk about breaching the Lower Forest Newk River dams. Governor Brown in Oregon filed an injunctive motion to lower the reservoir levels, breach that, eventually we know that the whole game is to eventually breach the dams. We are concerned about fish, but we do think there's a major approach that needs to be taken in rather than just dam breaching habitat. Hatcheries, there's a lot of other things that need to be looked at instead of just breaching dams, because there is growth happening in the Northwest. We're all experiencing it. We're no different at Lincoln Electric in our small quarter there. But we need that green carbon-free power, and hydropower is the best form of that we have. And it is the best form of power to back up renewables like wind and solar.
And I believe that. And so it doesn't make a lot of sense to me that there's a group out there that's pushing real hard for cleaner energy because of climate change. Science and their beliefs, it's politics, and a lot of it's going to be politics as well. But yet at the same time, they want to remove one of the cleanest and most reliable sources of cleaner fuel. So I'm frustrated. I suppose you're frustrated there as well. How do you guys try to navigate through that?
Being a member of PNGC really helps. PNGC is the third largest as a cooperative, and it's 15 members strong. We are the third largest member of Bonneville, so we have a voice, and that's a great that's a great asset that we take advantage of. You know, we try to educate our members, and it's interesting. You don't think people know about this, but when you start talking to them, they're aware. They're aware of these things, and they pay attention to them. So we just continue to communicate and get the word out to our membership, utilize our PNGC membership. And, you know, it is a political battle, hugely political. But I would just encourage people also to, you know, use and pay attention to all the science. Pay attention to what the actual science. We hear a lot about all sorts of different types of energy, and I'll just use nuclear, for example. Nuclear is a carbon-free source of energy, and I think it's gaining some traction. It needs the political support. But the problem with nuclear is we've tied so much emotion to it that we forget about the science of it.
Yeah.
It's a proven technology for decades, but there's so much emotion tied to it that we forget what it actually does for us.
And that's what we're doing here. Right?
Correct. Likewise. Exactly.
So another issue I think that you guys face up there is forest fires.
Yep.
Update us there.
Yeah. So, you know, we have an active wildfire mitigation plan. We work very closely with the State Forest Service. We have a lot of our service territory there, and also on National Forest Service. And so we developed a fire mitigation plan earlier this year, and we are actively out there widening rights of way, trimming all the trees that we can, you know, working with them when they do a job and we see maybe it could be a little bit better. And they're really good to listen to us. And we understand that it's not just going out and doing a job of trimming trees, but there's habitat involved and there's policy and procedure and protocol that need to be taken care of. But we are actively involved in trying to do that. We have full-time tree trimming crews on our system all the time when they can be out trimming and taking care of that for us. That's the last thing we ever want is a wildfire.
Yeah, yeah. Kelly Stanger with us, by the way, just to give you that idea. Once again, General Manager, Lincoln Electric in Eureka, Montana. That's the northwestern corner. You're hit by fires almost every year. What's the safety issue for your employees?
Well, safety is number one. That's paramount for us. We have a tremendous safety program. MECA does a great job of helping us do our training.
Lots of training.
Of training. We have an active safety committee. That goes through the safety manual, and we've actually made some recent changes to increase our safety level. And so always on the lookout for that. We employ about 21 employees, and everybody's involved in safety. So we actually, Lincoln Electric has the highest record of no lost time accidents with 32 years.
That's good.
Yeah.
You can brag about that.
Well, we're happy. We're happy about it, but we don't want to be complacent either.
Our regulations, you're in the energy industry, so there's a ton of regulations. Which ones are getting in the way, Telly, that maybe Congress has the will to cooperate on and maybe get out of the way?
I don't know that I can say that any are in the way for what we do. We try to comply the best we can.
Maybe in forest management.
I think the biggest challenge there is just helping them see that we do need to operate a safe, reliable system, because if one tree that's outside that right-of-way comes down and hits the tree, the big question is who's responsible? Well, it was outside the right-of-way. We could have gone and cut it down, but we need permission. We need someone to sign off on that. So there's a lot of those little things that can get in the way, but we try to be very cognizant and aware of that and take care of them as we can. Like I say, our relationship, we feel like our relationship with the state and Federal Forest Service in our area is strong and good. And so we haven't had any major issues, but it's something you just have to continually be aware of.
Growth?
Yeah, we're experiencing good growth this year. We'll probably experience double the growth on what we do on average for 2021.
Well, and that doesn't come as a surprise as a lot of the, and they're dubbed the COVID-19 refugees coming to Montana, buying homes and property sight unseen. That's not an exaggeration as well. Are they automatically co-op members or are you marketing to them so that they do sign up?
You know, we're not marketing. They come, they sign up for service just like anybody else.
Yeah.
They pay for their service, become members.
Are you handling it okay then?
We're doing okay. Yeah. We rely on contractors to help us when we get behind a little bit, and that works well. We're coming to the end of our construction season. We're a lot like other co-ops around, and you may have heard it, but we are seeing challenges with materials, availability, and times being pushed out. So doing the best we can there.
Well, you've got a 10 o'clock, you were saying. Right?
I do, yeah.
What's the topic?
Well, 10 o'clock is actually our monthly PNGC board meeting.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's virtual.
I got it. Is there some major decisions on the table?
Major decisions, PNGC is actually looking forward to the Bonneville contract in 2028, and we are determining whether or not we want to go out for, do we want to own generation on the side? How much Bonneville do we want? And are we willing to own some? Are we willing to, you know, sign get in an RFP or do a purchase power agreement with somebody for that power? So those are big things.
That is a major thing. You said you were the third largest member of the Bonneville Power.
Bonneville Power customers.
Yeah. And so you're looking at owning generation. Not a lot of electric co-ops are in that position.
Yeah. Well, come 2028. You know, what it does is open up that Bonneville contract, and anybody that is a preference customer can get in line for that power.
I see.
There's a lot of people that are not buying power from Bonneville right now, and they're big utilities, and we believe that they'll be in line.
Oh, okay.
And so what the allocation of the federal system is going to be could be very different in 2028 than what it is right now.
Would that be, and again, maybe you can't answer it at this point, would that be Hungry Horse Dam?
Part of it, yeah. Yeah. Any part of the Federal Columbia River system, yeah.
Well, I'm going to follow up on that because I think that's an important movement for our electric co-ops is in that generation side of things.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
All right, then. Well, go get your final briefing, and thank you for being here, Tally.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate
that. Tally Stanger, the general manager of the Lincoln Electric Cooperative, that is in Eureka, Montana. We'll take a break, and we'll come on back with more here. Looking for Derek Sorley to join us from Bighorn Electric Cooperative in Hardin, Montana. It is From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
Did you know that Stockman offers more than banking services? We also offer all lines of insurance, including home, auto, life, crop, farm, ranch, and business. At Stockman Insurance, our experienced agents will take the time to work with you to design the right insurance package to meet your specific needs at competitive prices. Contact us today for a free quote. Stockman Insurance, Montana's brand of insurance. Equal opportunity employer and provider.
All right, welcome back. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. I got to tell you a little secret, okay? You guys all know Piano Pat, right? And that she passed away. And she's been a part of our tradition in Montana, let alone, you know, here in Great Falls, where we are for the 60th annual Mecca meeting here, the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. I'm going to try to get on the program tomorrow because they are actually, at this point, now have six candidates to replace Piano Pat. Aaron Tippin will be one of the judges for some of those candidates. So we'll get into that a bit more tomorrow, hopefully. And that's at the O'Hare Motor Inn. That's just fun news. Derek Sorley now joins us from Bighorn Electric in Hardin, Montana. Derek, how you doing?
Doing good. Thank you.
I'm good. Good. Thank you for being here.
Yes, sir.
I just want to get a sense of how things are in your neck of the woods.
They're very good. Where we're at, we're in a kind of non-growth area of Hardin, which sometimes is good, but other times is not so good. We had a very exciting summer at a cooperative with the fires and irrigation load and everything else that we had to go through. The fires were really horrible for us. Took out 19 H-structure transmission poles and another 9 distribution poles. And credit to our crews and our inside staff that we were able to backfeed and restore power within 45 minutes.
Really?
Yes. So we're a small cooperative. We only have 15 employees, but they're all 15 are very, very dedicated to our members.
What's the process then? What goes into place when you need that sort of emergency help?
Well, Our guys get called in, and
they know what to do.
They know what to do, okay. And the good thing about being in a small community, half of our line crew, they're also volunteer firemen. And we do have a couple of service vehicles where we have water tanks on the back, and so we can kind of spray around the poles where the fires are getting close to, And that saved us no telling how many poles during that fire. So that was a good thing. Like I say, our crews, I think they got called out like at 4:30 the previous day, and they got back into the office about 9 o'clock. They had everybody back on except for one large commercial. And that was a good thing. We sent them home and let them get some rest, and we brought in contractors to replace all the transmission poles.
And you guys did that in a short period of time, too.
Yes, very short period of time. I think it took us about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, to get all the transmission. Our distribution poles, we had those back up and going within a day and a half.
Nice. So what's the takeaway? What, you know, when tragedies like that or those kinds of emergency situations happen, you prepared, you've trained, but you reevaluate as well. What's the reevaluation on that?
Well, you know, what I really received out of that, because I'm new to this cooperative. I've only been the general manager for 2.5 years. And if you can tell by my accent, I'm not from Montana. but the communication that we had between not only our employees, but the local officials, the local firefighters, the commissioners and everything else. I was really, really glad to see the amount of communication that we had with everybody. And it was all like we were working as one team together.
Right. What needs to be improved then? Again, that reevaluation.
Well, you know, the improvement is, I don't know, there's things out there that we could wrap our poles with that mm-hmm. Will prevent them from burning. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's a very costly process. Yes.
And, what is it? What's the material?
Well, it's made by our pole manufacturer, and I can't remember exactly what the exact name of it is, but it's kind of a fire retardant that you wrap on the base of the pole.
I see.
And just for one bundle, which would cover about four poles, I think they're about $350
a
bundle.
Just four poles.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But we are looking in that whenever we order poles for our stock, that they go ahead and have these pre-wrapped. So any new installation, those poles will be protected.
Derek, we're out of time, and I know that it's a meeting, and you've got things to do at 10 o'clock here, too. So thank you for stopping in and giving us that update.
Thank you.
Yep, Derek Shorley, Bighorn Electric, Hardin, Montana. I want to thank our guests here today, Scott Hoffman, one of the keynote speakers here today. Also enjoyed talking with Kelly Sanger, the general manager of Lincoln Electric in Eureka, Montana. Eric Young back in studio. Ryan Hall, the communications director here for the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. We'll continue to be here and continue to focus on these issues important to you.